Welcome to a new edition of Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget to follow us on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. Let's talk about this week's show. We're going to talk to head athletic trainer Tom Mulligan in the third segment, so make sure you stick around for that. Really interesting perspective. He's been with the team for like 17 years.
There's so many longtime Lightning employees here.
It's really fantastic. Mm-hmm. So if you were a fan of the Rob Kennedy interview and the Nigel Kerwin interview, you're going to be a fan of this one. Great guy. Great talking to him. We really appreciate him coming on the show with us. So that's going to come up in the third segment.
Yes.
So we're wrapping up February.
Mm-hmm.
Short month.
But, yes.
You know, it's been good.
I mean, it's, hey, when you don't lose in regulation or, you know, whatever it is, like all these, I don't know. This team.
I know this team and this team that has limited edition Adidas sneakers.
I know. And we're gonna put this up, right?
Yeah, we're going to take a photo
okay,
of them.
Good.
Because I got mine in the mail the other day. Only 1,000 of these have been made. And I think there were like 200 in the store and then 800 available online. And I ordered them online.
Mm-hmm.
And they're pretty wicked awesome.
Yeah, they are. Adidas has come out some really nice shoes in the last few years.
I've bought more Adidas sneakers in the last 6 months than I think I've bought in my entire life. Yep. I've got the superstar old school like Run DMC ones.
These are those weird dry fit things. I don't know what they're called. Yeah. I don't know what they're called.
The sneakers I have are not workout sneakers. They just make me feel cool.
Yeah, these. Yeah. I don't know. They've just, I feel in the last 2-3 years, Adidas, they didn't redesign the superstars or anything like that,
no.
But they did do something to the insides of them, apparently.
They're super comfortable. Like, the insoles are different.
Yeah, the insoles are different. They did a whole redesign of their athletic line, so they're all very sleek, and the dry fit, which is not, they're not dry fit, because that's Nike.
Right.
But the
Moisture wicking.
Moisture.
Yeah. And they're super light.
Very light.
That's what I noticed about these.
The Lightning ones?
The Lightning ones that go with the third jersey lifestyle line of clothing and accessories. These are super light.
Mm-hmm.
Like super, super light. And they're super cool looking.
I like it.
I know. I feel very fancy strutting around town in them. I'm afraid to wear them, to be quite honest. I'm like, I don't want to get them dirty. Kind of like I am with my superstars. I like, every time I take them off, I look to see, and then I use magic eraser if I have to clean them up. I want them to be look like new.
Yeah.
But they're really cool looking.
They are very cool. It was a really great point is if you're a fan of the new third jerseys.
Yes.
These are in that line of, it's that line where they said in their announcement of everything that they're going to have like a whole line.
They do.
And this is, the shoes are part of the line.
Right.
Just.
Right. Like the Tervis Tumbler, which I keep bringing up. So cool.
Have you got it yet?
No. Oh. I can't buy all of it.
I don't know.
I can't buy all of it. And like, I have the black moisture wicking workout Lightning t-shirts that have the silver bolt on the front and then the different player name.
Do you just still have just Kucherov?
I still just have Kucherov. Okay. I can't go too crazy, but I want to collect them all like baseball cards.
I mean, hey, Kucherov's a really good pick.
I know. It was, you know, it was between Vassy and Cooch and I went with Cooch, but I think my next one is going to be Vassy, the big cat, because he's amazing.
Yeah, gotta show the goalie love.
Yeah. So, and then I would have a forward, a defenseman, and a goaltender
for
like moisture wicking shirts. I have Victor Hedman for the blue ones that came out earlier this year.
Good choice.
But yeah, I kind of want to collect them all.
Yeah.
It's a little expensive to collect
them
all.
It's like Pokemon Go. It's like Lightning Go.
Yeah.
Gotta catch them all.
But really, if you haven't been to the store at Amalie Arena lately, do yourself a favor. Go. Maybe give yourself a limit because you want to buy it all.
Yeah, and they have the one on the third level, too. Don't forget. Mm-hmm. You don't have to just go to the one downstairs is, of course, larger.
Right.
But I'm sure
a small kiosk right by section like 118 or something.
Yeah,
like
and then
that.
There's one I want to say 318, 316, 3.
You'll be able to find.
Yeah, and it's a good size. It's not a small kiosk. It's a decent size, but you know that they always have the hottest products in there.
You know, I wore my Kucherov third jersey t-shirt to Nashville, and I actually wore it into the Predators team store.
How'd that go? Well, they probably don't care too much.
They don't care too much, but one of the girls that was working there, it was like, oh, I really like that shirt. I'm like, thanks. I'm not buying anything here. I just wanted to look around and, and think to myself, we have better merchandise.
Yeah, for cheaper.
Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of expensive.
Yeah, you were telling me. It's a little pricey.
The hats all started at like $49.99.
Yeah, you guys, like a hat. Like a hat. You guys, like a baseball cap. Like a cap.
Like, it wasn't just the snapbacks or the flat brim or the fitted or the adjustable. All of them started at $49.99. So I said, thanks, but no thanks.
I mean,
little pricey.
Yeah, that's a little much.
It's a quarter of what the shoe is that I just bought. It's like the toe of the left shoe.
The toe of the left shoe.
Yeah. So pass. Hard pass. But yeah. So I'm trying to figure out when I'm going to break them out. I may keep them until like
playoffs,
mid-April, and debut them then.
I think you should debut them for the playoffs.
Maybe. Which we haven't clinched yet. That's why I said mid-April, Dory. Jeez. Goodness gracious. Even though we're like double-digit points ahead of the next team in the league. But that's okay. You never know.
Yeah, I mean, especially when you look at our schedule.
Our schedule's going to be tough coming
this
up.
This is tough.
But you control what you can control. That's what the team did early in the season. They won as many games as possible because they probably looked at the latter part of the season and are like, if we don't clinch a playoff spot early, it's going to be really tough. And yeah. I know they don't want a replay of what happened 2 years ago where they came down to the last game.
No.
Waiting until
that team
finished that game to find out if they had a spot in the playoff, and they didn't. So, you know, control your own destiny. Control what you can control. Win as many games early as you can, which is what they did.
Yeah. I'm a little concerned, though.
Why?
There's one. Okay. So we've been keeping our eye, of course, on the standings through the whole year, as everybody has the whole season.
Right.
And it's been since December 2nd.
Yeah.
It's been Lightning number one.
Right.
Since December 2nd.
Yep.
And then underneath has been Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And
there's been some shuffling.
And then Buffalo was hanging in there. Like, you know, they were up there.
Mm-hmm.
Boston is now number two behind the Lightning. Now, they're behind the Lightning.
Right.
They're not
double-digit points.
Yeah, they're not. They're behind.
It's not
the
like
Lightning.
They're behind us by 2 points.
Yes, yeah. And every time I see like a national thing saying "hot on their heels," no, do you not know how math works? That's not how math works. But that's okay.
Okay.
But I don't like that they play Boston three times in the next month and a half. Before the season ends.
Yes.
Because you said the last game of the season is Boston.
At 1 o'clock on a Saturday. It's going to be a national game. Probably.
Don't like it. Oh, yeah, for sure it will.
Don't like it.
Don't like it. I don't like it at all.
I don't like it.
I think they should be banished and go.
Okay.
I don't know why. I know.
The whole city of Boston may have a different opinion.
Yeah, well.
But
let's just
move on.
But
the
I
other Boston
like,
teams right
and
now.
The crazy thing is, in the last season and a half, the Lightning have done really well against them.
They have.
And I know that. My head knows that.
Well, yeah, we beat them
in the playoffs last year. We've beaten them in Boston. I know.
It's still.
I don't know
a
why.
Little voice. It's a little voice in the back of your head. Because they're a dangerous team. I mean, they've got great players. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. Tuukka Rask, he's always given us fits in net.
Bergeron,
who just, I think he celebrated his 1,000th game, possibly.
He's so good.
There are other players on that team that I'm not going to name.
We're not going to name.
But you guys probably know who we're talking about.
Yeah.
Even though he's a pest, he can put the puck in the net.
Yeah, he does. I mean,
that player that shall be not named.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just kind of like, it's just one of those things where, I don't know.
I'd much rather them be on the beach come the middle of April than being in the playoffs. No matter where they are in the standings.
And don't be at our beach. Go to a different beach. We don't want you at our beach. I'm just kidding.
You're not allowed to come here.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
So, yeah, there's been a lot of shuffling since December in the Eastern Conference of teams where they're ranking. And
Pittsburgh, if the season were, you know, Pittsburgh's not in.
Which is crazy.
Buffalo is not in. I mean, it's just nuts when you think about it.
Well, not Buffalo not being in, but Pittsburgh not being in the playoffs is, I don't know
but,
the
I mean,
last
when
time
you look
that
at,
happened.
When you look at how Buffalo started.
They started great.
Holy goodness. And then to look at it now, like, oh man, y'all, what happened?
But even in playing us last week, it was a tough game.
It was. And they're not playing poorly.
Their goaltender is very good.
Yes. It's just one of those weird things of hockey where the hockey gods just aren't looking down on Buffalo.
Right.
Which I feel really bad for the people of Buffalo because I feel like they go through this in like every sport.
I know.
It's like, oh, yay, we have faith and no.
One of my best friends, her family is from Buffalo. And so, you know, she's a Bucks fan. She's a Lightning fan. She's a Rays fan. But when it comes to like another team to keep her eye on, she's always keeping an eye on the Bills and the Sabres. And it's just kind of one of those things where it's like, oh, wow, they're playing really well. Oh, no. That was short-lived.
Yeah.
You know, I don't, you know, kind of looking at this season, it's been a little different.
Mm-hmm.
Not that the Lightning didn't win early in the season last season, but it's a question.
Okay. I don't want to answer it for you.
So looking at the team, there weren't a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
We brought up only Matthew Joseph and Danik Martell, but they... Mm-hmm. Danik didn't really play that much.
And then we did the trade.
With Slater Cuckoo. Yep. And we kept Chernak up.
Mm-hmm.
So at the beginning of the season, but that was later on in the season. At the beginning of the season, the team looked like the same team basically at the end of last season.
Yeah.
So they know how each other play. They come out. They know they want to get over the hump because they've been a bridesmaid a lot, never the bride.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come out swinging. It was a concerted effort by the team to what I believe is win often and early in the season. I don't, you know if anybody's come out and said it, but that's what I noticed.
Yeah.
I'm not sure whether it's, you know, it just takes teams longer to get back in the swing of things or their lineup looks a bit different from the season before. So it takes them a while to start clicking. But I feel like only until like mid-December did we see teams really start, other teams, like start getting their feet under them.
Yeah.
And clicking.
That's a very fair point.
Is that, and I feel like maybe Buffalo, I don't know how many changes they had on their team or whatnot, but.
I mean, their team is Jack Eichel. That was who they built everything around.
Right.
So I don't think it's the Lightning where you have four lines that are pretty deep.
That too. Yeah. I mean, how a lot of teams don't have four lines that can score.
No.
Or the defensive pairings to be able to match up against four lines that can score.
Yes. And that's the other point,
too. Is that the difference, too?
I think so. I mean, this is, I think the thing that gets, you know, overlooked so much is, and especially now because of the way, but this is a perfect example, actually, the way that Coach Cooper is now just like, who's the first line? Who's the second line? And it's like you don't know. Sometimes Steve Stamkos isn't on the first line.
Right.
Sometimes he's on the second line.
Right.
It's such a well put together and deep team that you Steven Stamkos is not always on the first line.
Right.
That's ridiculous.
And he can kind of plug and play.
Other teams that would have Steven Stamkos
on the first line.
Nikita Kucherov, always on the first line.
Right.
We don't do that here.
He can kind of plug and play players where they need to go and where they're kind of gelling with other players at the time.
And the matchups in the past, you know, Nigel Kerwin, when he pulls up the game film and they look and they go, hey, you know what?
The last two games
had really good luck against, I'm just going to pick anybody, against Patrick Bergeron. So let's put Johnson's line,
right,
and we'll put Kucherov, and then we'll move them to the front. That's how they're doing it,
right? So they'll come into the opposing teams will come into an arena thinking, okay, the last two games, Johnson and Palat played on the same line. You know, okay, so we're gonna the second line, we're gonna have this, and then they're in on the first line,
right?
You know, so and you can't really set your matchups that well.
It's coaching. The coaching has just been really good this year.
Coaching has been fantastic.
Fantastic. I think they gel well with, you know, Richardson Halpern and Franjean and Coach Cooper. I mean, it's just everything seems to be going very well for the Lightning. And, you know, they still. even when you look at it like, oh, they're not playing. Okay. I feel like you should plug your ears.
La, la, la.
Yeah, go over there. even when they're not maybe playing 40 minutes of good hockey, something happens. Even when they're down 3 goals or 4, you never feel they're out of it. Even when you're like, oh, they're really having an off night. And then they somehow come back. And they...
All right, so I started listening.
Are winning.
It's like... It's one of those things that people say all the time and it drives me crazy. Good teams find a way to win. But that's
so
what
cliche.
We're seeing.
And honestly, like, what we said about Buffalo and the hockey gods not looking down on them, the hockey gods have been fully wearing their lightning blue and white all season because... the bounces, some of these deflections. I mean, this is like divine intervention at times. Like, and I said it the other night at the Buffalo game. Uh-huh. I said, it's like they can't lose.
What? She's looking for something to throw.
I know. She's
looking
feverishly.
For something to throw.
I was laughing about it because I was like, I mean, Buffalo really played their hearts out.
Yeah. Yeah, they really took it to the Lightning.
They really did. Mm-hmm. And
it went into a shootout, but, you know. If you look earlier in the week, it had been a couple days since a team had really come in and brought it to us. Because, mm-hmm. You know, playing a back-to-back in Columbus and then in Philly.
Which they won.
Both of.
I believe they have not.
Goals.
Not lost of. The first game of a back-to-back all season.
Right.
In regulation.
But,
in regulation.
Okay, these weren't wins 2-1.
No, I know.
3-2. They were 5-1 and 5-2. So the mm-hmm. Lightning scored 10 goals in 24 mm-hmm. hours, basically.
Yeah.
That's unheard of.
No, this is...
this is crazy.
What Kucherov is doing is not...
Yeah, and we're going to talk about Kucherov later. But then you look at the week before... they scored 15 goals in 3 games.
Mm-hmm.
That's the 4 lines clicking and scoring.
The power play has been outstanding.
The power play against Buffalo.
At one point, I want to say the power play, and I don't know what the percentage is now. At one point, the power play was like 30-something. It was just up there, like 33. It was like 30-something percent. And I'm like, whoa, when has that ever happened in the NHL? That's not a thing.
Power play struggled a little bit in the Buffalo game. But, I mean, they still found a way to win.
Yeah. And you do see teams repeatedly come in Brian Burns, the wonderful Brian Burns and his amazing game notes. He always has quotes like mm-hmm. I don't want to say the hottest quotes, but some bigger quotes from the opposing team. And they're always talking about the power play and they always say it. You have to play so smart and so disciplined against this team because they are just going to kill you on the power play.
Yeah.
And Steven Stamkos is like the power play king this year.
Right.
He's having an outstanding year.
And I don't know if it was somebody on the NHL radio network or whatever, but they said, you know, later on in the season, there are more 2-1 games, mm-hmm. 3-2 games, like lower scoring games. All right. So the Lightning lost back-to-back games at home versus Vegas and St. Louis mm-hmm. on February 5th and 7th.
Right.
Okay.
Yes.
Since then, mm-hmm. whether home or away, and there have only been 3 away games, the game after that versus Pittsburgh, we win 5-4. The 10th in Florida, back-to-back game.
Mm-hmm.
Lightning win 5-2.
Mm-hmm.
Calgary, at home, win 6-3.
Did not expect that.
Dallas, at home, 6-0.
Mm-hmm.
Montreal, at home, 3-0.
Mm-hmm.
Away in Columbus, 5-1. Away in Philly on a back-to-back, 5-2. And then win at home, 2-1 in overtime.
And
was the last handful of games since they lost
back to back. And the thing is the game, the one goal they gave up in Columbus, they were angry about because they're like, we ruined it for Vasilevsky. And I'm like, how good of a hockey. And then you sit there and you think, how good of a hockey team are you that you're mad that you didn't preserve the shutout
right. for your goaltender?
For your goal. Not that you won.
Nope.
You're mad because you didn't preserve the shutout for Vasilevsky, who had gone in a ridiculous amount of time without allowing a goal in.
Right.
It's just like this team.
Most teams are just one hoping that they can score a goal, and they're mad because they allow a goal and their goaltender.
And they win
like,
5-1.
And they win 5-1. I mean, it's a comedy of riches almost.
It's a comedy of riches. I like that, and that's kind of what I was getting to at the Buffalo game when I was kind of laughing. Like it's like they They just can't
Well, something
lose.
They turn on. And it's something I'd seen from where I sit mm-hmm. behind the bench, you know, in past seasons. When they get behind in a game, they would get angry. They would start gripping their sticks harder. Mm-hmm. Shots would be missing. Shots wouldn't go in. And they just couldn't fight through it.
Right.
This season, they're down a goal mm-hmm. early, or not early, but they're behind. You know, Buffalo scores first.
Yep.
Normally, they would have been angry and just not been able to get out of their own heads. This year, it's like, oh, okay, well, they're going to come back, score two more goals, and it's going to be fine.
Yeah.
There's a different
mindset?
Feeling, mindset, personality of this team. And because maybe they've had success. Maybe they're like, okay, well, we're down a goal, but we're going to score three more.
It's
maybe because they've been through it.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, okay, well, we know we're down, but we're not out of this game.
Yeah.
So let's just keep playing. They trust each other. They trust the game plan.
Yeah.
They trust their abilities.
Both goalies.
They trust both of their goalies, which is, I mean, I...
We've really seen a difference in how they play in front of Domingue lately.
And I loved Domingue when he came in. Mm-hmm. Like, there was nothing that said that he wasn't capable,
mm-hmm.
but you just kind of have this thing in your back of your mind going, oh, boy, backup goaltender's not going to go well.
Yeah.
And then it does.
Real
I mean,
well.
you look how far ahead we are in the league in points, mm-hmm. and knowing that we didn't have our number one Vezina nominated goaltender
for
like a month.
Yeah.
Unreal.
It's crazy.
I feel like we have the same show every week when we talk about this team, but they just blow us away.
Yeah. Well, I think that's, you know, what happens. It's a comedy of riches.
It's what happens when good teams figure out their identity.
Yeah.
And rely on each other.
And
trust.
Yep. And they're always working to get better. They can find things that they can do better.
Face-offs weren't great early in the season.
Yep.
They've gotten a lot better.
Mm-hmm. And they're just...
Last season, the power play penalty kill
Ooh.
Wasn't there.
Ooh.
This year, it's there.
Yep.
And, you know, that's kind of what the talking heads said mm-hmm. that the Lightning are a great team. What they need to fix for next year, special teams.
Mm-hmm. And they did.
And they've done it.
Yeah.
So.
Unfortunately, they, you know, I don't want to say unfortunately, but it came at, you know, the call. I don't want to say the price, but I guess it is, of Coach Bonus, who I just personally was a big fan of.
Right.
But
sometimes you need to get fresh blood in here.
You need a new, and it worked, and it's been working. And like I said, I've said it just about almost every week.
Yeah.
Our show, I love this coaching staff. I just think they're doing a tremendous job. I think they're really getting response. And that's the crazy thing with Coach Cooper. As long as he's been here, the most tenured coach of one team in the NHL currently.
Which is crazy.
He's still getting these guys to play. And right? he's still, his message is still getting through. That's remarkable.
Yes. So, bravo.
Yes.
Keep it up. We like it.
We like it.
Rachel likes it. CT likes that's my real name. Sorry. I just kind of slipped.
You got so excited you forgot.
So excited. We like it. All right. So we're going to take a quick break and come back with more Game Misconduct. We're going to talk Art Ross and Kucherov.
Yes.
It's going to be good. Stick around.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. I'm CT here with Dory.
Hey.
Don't forget to follow us on all social media at Game Mis with a Z Conduct. All right. So before we get into the Kucherov Art Ross discussion, which, I mean, it's not going to be heated between you and I. We're just going to talk about it. But can we talk about, it came out earlier last week, the puck almost grazing the tip of Pierre McGuire's nose while he's in between the benches. And Girardi's expression was even better.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, because you could see him like, oh, God.
He is the most expressive player I've seen in years.
He's so entertaining.
I wish they would mic him up every game.
Every game. He's very
hilarious.
Entertaining. Very entertaining. But, like, I don't know if you've seen it. I retweeted it, the video of it. If you haven't seen it, Game Misconduct on Twitter. He might have felt cold on the tip of his nose. That puck came so close. There have been a lot of pucks in the bench this year.
Yeah.
You know, the visitor bench, the home bench. Rob Kennedy got hit with a puck. A couple guys on the bench have been hit, you know, and, you know, there have been a lot in my section in the stands. I mean, I don't know what's going on. But, that video was unreal.
Yeah, I think that would probably...
grazing the nose of Pierre McGuire.
Yeah, I think it would probably be...
I mean, I'm not on the bench. I'm like three or four rows behind.
And you even are like, I keep my head on a swivel because once you almost got hit.
Oh, I got hit once on a leg.
Well, on your leg.
Right. But there have been a lot that have grazed my hair.
Yeah.
Gone over my shoulder.
And you said if you were not paying attention, you would have gotten hit.
Absolutely.
Really hurt.
So like people try to text me or something or call me during games. I keep my phone in my purse as much as possible because I can't be distracted. Or if I have to pick up my phone to look at something, I tell my friend who sits next to me, hey,
let me
keep an eye out, please. We keep an eye out for each other all the time. Because,
you have to.
Yeah, it's just nuts. But that video was incredible. So if you haven't seen it, make sure you check it out. I mean, I know it's almost been a week, but...
I know people get really irritated by Pierre McGuire, but...
You either love him or hate him.
And, you know, I told you this a couple seasons ago. Not last season. I don't remember when. It was a couple seasons ago that he had been stationed next to me in the press box. He's the nicest guy.
Yeah. Yeah, some people just kind of don't like his style.
Got irritated by him.
Yeah.
Excuse me. But after sitting next to him, I was like, oh... He's very tiny.
He is very pocket-sized.
He's a little tiny guy. Yeah. But he's very kind and very warm. Yeah.
Some people just don't like his presentation
and
style on TV.
I said something to him about that, and he was like, I mean, I get it, but...
You can't be loved by everybody.
And he's like, you know, we get these earpieces here that we wear. You know, we're kind of fed things.
Yeah.
That's what we're being fed.
Yeah.
He's like, and we have to, are there other things? He's like, really in-depth things I'd love to know. Yeah, but I can't because people at home don't care.
Right.
He's like, it's for the people at home.
He's got to broadcast for everybody.
Yeah. And that's really what it is. So maybe next time, don't get so mad. Like, oh, dumb question.
Yeah.
No, that's what. The average person.
They have producers in their ear and they tell them what to ask them.
They tell them what to ask them. And all in every sport, they do that.
Yep.
It's not all they're coming up with great questions on the sidelines. That's not them coming up with the questions
sometimes.
On the sidelines.
I mean, sometimes they
Very
come up with
rarely.
Their own, but most of the time it's fed by a producer.
And they have to be run by a producer.
Right.
So let's cut the dude some slack because he almost got his head taken off.
Jeez. If I'm Pierre, I'm wearing a helmet the next game, but you know. So keep your eyes out if you're at a game and you're close.
Not even if
you're in the lower bowl, because pucks can fly high.
And if you're with a friend and maybe they don't know these unspoken rules of hockey, please watch out for them and let them know, hey, now's not the time to take a selfie for the Snapchat.
Right. And that's part of the reason why they don't allow people to go down to their seats.
Yeah. Yeah.
While the puck is in play.
Right.
I see a lot of people who get up during play and their back is to the ice. Guys, don't do that.
Don't do that.
If people want to do it, they might not know. You don't need to scold them or stop them, but, you know, try to.
It's a safety.
Yeah, it's a safety thing. Just you don't want your back to the ice for gosh sakes.
Oof.
Scary stuff. So anyway, all right, let's talk. Art Ross.
We've got
like a month and a half left in the season. I can't believe we're starting to talk about this.
But
I feel like we've been talking about this all season.
When you have a player on your team that hits 100 points at game 62.
He was so happy, too. Like, that was a great celebration. You don't see a lot of emotion out of Nikita Kucherov a lot.
I think he kind of does wear his heart in his sleeve, but
it's usually frustration. Or he'll come over and break his stick or something.
Yeah, he's like...
You don't see the kids
so
smile
competitive.
A lot. Yeah.
So competitive.
Yeah. We've seen him smiling a lot this season, though.
As he should. He's got a lovely smile.
Yes.
Through the beard.
Yes. But
which I love.
That was a great celebration at 100 points.
And I think even more so than him being excited was his teammates.
Oh, they were so excited for him. That just shows you how tight this group of guys really are.
They were just so excited and so happy. And he's once in a lifetime. We said it a few years ago. Like, if you have the sandwich, remember?
Yes.
This is when the triplets were going on.
Right.
And we you and I agreed that Kucherov would be the meat.
Yeah.
He's the meat of the sandwich.
He's the meat of the sandwich.
Oh, I'm bright red right now. But he is. He's so important, and he was important 4 years ago, and he's important now. And we're seeing a lot of talent and a lot of hard work and a lot of dedication and a lot of competitiveness all come together and create this player who did – the last player that did it was Mario Lemieux.
Wow.
That scored 100 points by game 62 was Mario
Lemieux.
No
way.
Yeah, like the 95-96 season.
And you know my love affair with Mario Lemieux.
Think about that.
Whoa.
22
– I just got chills.
23 seasons it took for somebody to get it that fast.
Wow.
This guy's so in a cool. different stratosphere. And the interesting thing, and this is why we want to talk about the Art Ross. The Art Ross is given to the highest scorer of the year. The Hart Trophy is given to the team, the player most voted.
Is the Art Ross the most, it's not the highest score, it's the most points.
It's the most points. Right. Well, that would
Rocket
be
highest Richard.
Score.
Well, no, the Rocket Richard.
That is goal scorer.
Goal scorers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Goal
so
scored
most points.
Is most points or is highest score because you score a point for an assist.
Right. Okay. Okay. I just wanted.
Yeah. So goal scorer is Rocket Richard.
Most
Art
points.
Art Ross is yes.
Okay. Got it.
And right now you look and you go, well, it's obviously going to be Kucherov getting the Art Ross. Until you realize that Patrick Kane is 90, you know, right on his heels at like, you know, 6 or 7 points less than him.
Right.
Which is. Also remarkable when
right.
you look at not how good the Blackhawks,
right.
how ungood they started the season. They've been playing very well lately.
Right.
Took them a minute, but it's really crazy. And then the Hart Trophy then
right.
is the player voted most valuable on their team.
Okay.
Okay. So a lot of people I thought it was the Hart Trophy at one point was the most outstanding player in the NHL, but it's not. It's the player voted most valuable to his team. So here's where my long-winded rambling of trophies are going.
Okay.
So right now, the Rocket Richard winner would be Alex Ovechkin because he's pushing 50. He's not. He's over 40. He's got over 40 goals so
right.
far. 40-something goals.
Right.
Blech. I'm irritated. Go away. Are you so
you won
I
your
always
cup.
Like, you won your cup.
Just go.
Just go. And you have Kucherov, who really isn't. I mean, Braden Point has more goals
right.
than Kucherov.
Right. That's why I wanted to make the distinction.
Right. But Kucherov is an assist machine.
Yes.
Who's like one of those automatic firing, like, that's what he is. And he's feeding guys these pucks, and all of them saying, like, I don't know, this feed. I think Braden Point said it at the, I don't even know what game it was, not the Buffalo game. I think it was the game before Buffalo. And he's like, yeah, I mean, I see Kucherov, like, feed this puck my way. And I'm like, oh, it's going in.
Yeah.
Like, you know, he sees things that we don't see.
Right.
Like, he knows, like, hey, just shoot. I'm going to give it to you. It's going
right.
to go in. And he's right. He has a really amazing vision. But Patrick Kane is number second in goals.
Right.
And now I'm scared of Patrick Kane here. Because I don't feel... So when you look at most... The Hart Trophy. Let's just look at the Hart Trophy. It's going to be the most... The player most valuable to their team.
Right. And that is voted on by the Professional Hockey Writers Association.
Yes. Yes.
And they rank the players 1 through 5, and each player gets a point number, and then those points are added
right.
up, and then whoever
yeah.
has the most gets the Hart Trophy.
Right. So it's not, it's a little.
It's subjective.
It is very subjective because I can look at it and say,
which
Kucherov
we're not,
won.
We're not one of the voters.
We're not.
No.
But I can look at it and say, in my opinion, Kucherov 1, Patrick Kane 2, Andrei Vasilevskiy 3. I can do that.
Right.
I could do that. I could say Victor Hedman 4, and I can say Steve Stamkos 5.
Right.
It doesn't matter.
Right.
It doesn't. It's not like a pool of players like this is your choices. No, it's really
all the players in the league.
Everybody's available.
Right.
To be voted on. So when you think about it, just using Kane, Ovechkin, and Cooch, who's the most valuable to their team? Because I honestly think it's going to come down to those three. I think it's
right.
In my opinion, it's going to be
like
those
10 or so players that kind of rise to the top, and they're always in the conversation by the end of the season for the Hart Trophy.
And remember, this is done before the playoffs.
Right.
So we're talking
all
the
these
next
awards
month.
Are cut off by the playoffs.
Right. And we don't find out about it until June.
Right. And everybody gets mad, and it's like, no. This was before playoffs. They don't.
The Conn Smythe, we know.
Right.
But that's really, you know.
Right.
So you think about it. So in the next month or so. Probably in the next couple of weeks, these ballots are going to be, it's time to turn in your ballot. Yeah?
Right.
It's
right.
going to take them time to count and then independent third party. Out of those three, who is the most valuable to their team? It's a hard, because we want to give it to Kucherov. But when you phrase it as the most valuable player, I keep saying it over and over again because
right.
my answer is, I don't want people getting mad at me.
Are you going to say Patrick Kane?
I probably would say Patrick Kane.
Because they, yeah. Because...
They're bad. I mean, they're not bad now.
Right.
They've really gotten it together.
But for him to have 100 almost 100 points.
On that team. That is an
you're
older.
You're doing it by yourself.
An older team.
Yeah. Patrick Kane is not young anymore.
He's not a.
Young whippersnapper.
New. He's, yep. You look at it, this is not. Jonathan Toews is finally getting it together in Chicago. This is not the talented, you know, team of the Quenneville. Yeah. Dynasty. This team's, you know, I'd have to go Patrick Kane.
Okay. That's a very. Yeah. I mean.
Because we can take Kucherov off. Okay.
Right. But then we have
Vasilevsky.
Three lanes of guys who can. But.
And Vasilevsky.
I mean, I'm going to play devil's advocate here.
Okay.
So do you think because we have so many, they may split the votes and it may put Kucherov at a disadvantage?
I think so.
You think that's
kind of where
happen?
That's kind of where I was going. I think you're going to have a lot of people looking at it.
They may put 1 through 5. There may be 3 or 4 Lightning players on their list.
And you can only pick one.
Right.
At the end.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So it may end up hurting the voting in the end.
Because there's going to be people that are going to vote Braden Point.
Right. And there are going to be people that are going to vote Andrei Vasilevsky.
Yeah.
So instead of there being one standout for the team, they're going to be 5 or 4.
There's quite a lot.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. So don't be upset if we don't see Kucherov take home the Hart. Because it may split the votes. There may be so many guys on our team that deserve that accolade that it may hurt the voting in the end.
And let's be honest, for the month of December, for the at least, you know, how yeah, let you know, for a month there, it was Louis DeBing. He was the MVP of the team.
It's really interesting.
But let's agree it's not Alex Ovechkin.
Oh, I can agree with you on that.
Okay, good.
I can agree with you on that. But if I'm looking, say I have those three in front of me and I'm looking at what their season was like, it would be hard for me not to vote for Kucherov because you look at most of his points have come from assists.
Mm-hmm.
So he's setting other guys up, which
like
is all about
Point.
Hockey. I mean, that's the hockey way is yep. like, it's not about you. It's about the team
mm-hmm.
that, I mean, that you see that and you go, well, this guy, but
it's a hard one.
Wow.
So what do you guys think? Let us know.
Yeah. Tweet us.
Yeah. I want to know. You could say whoever, you know what? I'm not even going to put qualification on it.
Anybody
think.
In the league, though.
In the league.
Don't just think Lightning. I know it's
hard. Think league. I mean, if you think it's Jack Eichel, it's Jack Eichel. If you think it's Hockey Jesus up there in Edmonton, then it's Connor McDavid. If you think it's...
I've not heard that before.
Yeah, we called him that at the draft.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody was calling him Hockey Jesus. And we just thought it was the weirdest thing until we walked down there. And we're like, oh my God, this is crazy. This is pandemonium.
That's right.
Yeah, Hockey Jesus.
It's been a while.
I mean, it could be, you know, you look at all these players out there. There's so many great players. I mean, Taylor Hall won last year, and I felt that was well-deserved.
I do, too.
Because New Jersey wasn't going to go to the playoffs without Taylor Hall on that team. And he played his butt off.
He did.
He
carried that team on his back.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, you know, you kind of look at it. And in my opinion, the Norris is, I feel very cut and dry. I think the only time it wasn't, not 2018, 2017, I thought you could have given that one to Hedman.
Yeah.
But I'm not mad Brent Burns won that.
Right.
I'm not saying I'm mad about that. But I think I think a lot of times the Norris is very cut and dry to me.
Okay. What do you think this year?
That's...
You think it's going to be a little tougher?
I think this one's going to be a little tougher because I don't think any of them have really stood out. I think Headman's having another great year. Brent Burns is always, you know,
always
it's always the same.
Yeah.
You know, PK Subban is never going to be a bad defenseman.
Right.
Victor Hedman, these are guys that are they are way different level than everybody else. So I think this year, though, it's kind of like this one's going to be maybe the tougher.
Yeah.
I don't think it'll be Carlson.
Right.
I think it'll be down to Brent Burns and Brent Burns and Hedman again.
Okay.
Like 2017. That's just what I think. I think the Vezina is usually a little easy too. That one's almost like a pitcher. We've talked about that last year. I think this is the year of Vasilevsky for the Vezina. That's just, if I had a vote, I would vote Vasilevsky.
Right.
Because I don't think anybody, except Louis DeBing, would, I'm being serious. Yeah. Like, it's really come close. So I just want to know, you know, we kind of want to know your guys' thoughts. Who do you think, just the heart, if you want to give us all of them, go for it.
Yeah. Because the ballots are going to be going out soon.
The Lady Bing, go for it. Give it, the ballots are going to be out there. But really, who would you give the Hart Trophy to?
Right.
In the league.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so we're going to go for this segment. And when we come back, it's our interview with head athletic trainer Tom Mulligan. Stick around on Game Misconduct.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Welcome back to Game Misconduct. We are with our guest, Tom Mulligan, with the Tampa Bay Lightning head athletic trainer. Tom, thank you so much for joining us today.
No problem. Glad to be here.
So we've been wanting to talk to you for quite a while. You're kind of on our wish list, so we're really excited about this. Kind of want to get an idea what a day in the life of Tom Mulligan is, head athletic trainer for one of the best teams in the NHL.
Well, I guess you... two different types of days in our world, whether it's a game day or a practice day, you know, different responsibilities each day. I'll take a game day to start with. Typically we'll come in pretty early in the morning by 7:30, 8:00. And, myself along with our staff, Mike Poirier, Brandon Rogers, Christian Rivas, we'll start preparing our players for the day. Typically our injured players will come in earlier and start receiving some treatment. They will have meetings in the morning, and we'll do treatments before that. Then, you know, the players will jump on the ice for a short skate, usually on a game day. You know, from there, players that are not playing in the game or injured will continue treatment or do an off-ice workout. During the day, on a game day, I usually personally spend time doing administrative work, getting caught up on a lot of that. That's one of my big responsibilities is the administrative side, whether it be medical reporting, insurance, billing, setting up appointments for players, you know, that type of stuff. And then we get into game night, and players typically will, you know, start coming in about 3 hours or so before game time. Go through their routines, stretching, massage, medical treatments, dynamic activation warm-ups. They have meetings, and then we get into a game.
So I sit behind the bench, so I kind of see everything kind of close up, and I really pay attention to the athletic trainers and the equipment guys, see what they're doing, how they react to the players. Like, are you just kind of in automatic mode? Because you've been with the team for so long. So when a game starts and you're standing on the bench with them, is it just kind of like your body just goes into muscle memory? And you know, I know not every game is the same, but what's that like being on the bench and kind of anticipating the needs of the players?
Yeah, I mean, ideally, the best night is just to stand there and watch.
Yeah.
And not have to do anything, just have the best seat in the house. But obviously that's not always the case. You know, you're watching the game and you're picking up on, you know, obviously you know players that are going into a game that might have, you know, something that's nagging them, and you're watching that player and kind of monitoring how they're doing. You're looking for new injuries that happen. You're you know, helping out on the bench with, whether it's, you know, with the equipment managers, with skate blade changers or sticks or any equipment issue. We have radios that we communicate with our staff that's in the back in the locker room area, with our doctors. You know, so you're just kind of, you have to prepare yourself for different situations. I think probably one of the more important aspects of that is the emergency side of it. You never know during the course of a game if there's going to be a significant injury, and you have to be prepared and think through your mind what you would do in certain situations, whether it was, you know, a significant laceration or players unconscious or, you know, whatever that may arise. So you always have to be thinking of those situations and preparing and have a plan in place.
So how close are the medical training staffs with the opponent staff, you know, when they're in your building or when you're visiting? Do you really rely on each other and work together?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when you are, so as a home team, well, let me start by saying as a visitors in the regular season, it's not often that you'll travel with your full complement of doctors that you have at home. So when you're on the road, you're relying on the home team staff to provide, you know, coverage from the different physicians, whether it's orthopedic or general medical or your, you know, your eye doctor. So you have to, you know, what we do, and pretty typical across the league, when we get to a building before a game, we'll get together, have a quick chat with the home staff, the home and visiting team will get together. And I know when team comes into our building, we will quickly review our emergency plan. That's probably the most important thing. What's going to happen on the ice, in the locker room, in a, you know, runway down the tunnel if there's an emergency? Where is our ambulance located? Where are our medics coming from? Where's our doctor at? Where's the emergency supplies that we would need? Defibrillators or, you know, that type of equipment that we need. So everybody's on the same page. That's something that's reviewed before every game between the two staffs. And, you know, once the game gets going, it's, you know, on an as-needed basis. Some teams are a little more self-sufficient than others. Some rely more on medical coverage. So you kind of get that camaraderie amongst the medical staffs.
So you kind of alluded to it earlier. You know what players have a nagging injury or something that's nagging them. And we always hear that, you know, players always play hurt. But it's different from them being hurt and being out of the lineup or being on IR. Can you kind of explain that a little bit more? Because we always hear that phrase. I mean, are most of the players that are playing in the NHL, by the time we get to early April, are pretty much all banged up in some sort of way?
I would say by the time you get to April, every player has had something over the course of the year. Obviously, some injuries necessitate them being out for an extended period. Others, they may miss a practice. And you have to, you're constantly evaluating, you're constantly, you have to look at the situation of where the player's at, where the team's at, the injury itself. Is it something that could progressively get worse if they're going to continue to play? Is an injury that you can protect during the course of play? And you know what, it's not going to get any worse by playing. Is it an injury that may take longer to heal if he continues to play? So there's a lot of different scenarios. You have to look, you know, team scenarios too. You know, do you have extra healthy players that, you know, maybe it benefits, you know, sitting a player out for one or two games when you have healthy bodies that can replace him, versus a team that maybe everybody's banged up and you're just trying to get the healthiest guys out there that you can. So it, like I said, every situation is different. This year with our team, we've been very fortunate that we do have so much depth and so many good players in our organization that if a player does have a minor issue, we've had the benefit of holding them out a game, two games, or a little bit longer if they're coming back from an injury than sometimes we normally would, just because we have that benefit right now and we're able to do that.
We're speaking with Tom Mulligan, head athletic trainer for the Tampa Bay Lightning. So at this point in the season, you know, 20 games or less left in the regular season, how does your staff keep the players in the top physical form that they're in, or can, like, because we're kind of starting to look a little bit past early April. So how do you keep them healthy, or as healthy as possible for the most part?
Well, I think one thing is, like I just mentioned, just having the opportunity to, if a player would benefit from a day off, a game off, or two, then you, now's the time to do it. I think as we get into March, you start to base a lot of your decisions on trying to have the healthiest roster you can come playoff time. Obviously, we're trending that way. We haven't officially clinched anything yet, but
right.
Our goal and our plan is to play into April and beyond. So you have to start thinking about those decisions long term, and what will we need to do to have the healthiest lineup at the end of the regular season that we can. And then in season, you know, our strength staff does a great job of monitoring workloads and ice time. And, if the team as a whole is getting fatigued, our coaching staff is very receptive to keeping the players off the ice for a day, or, maybe having a lighter practice. Take this weekend, for instance. We played last night on Thursday. We don't play again until Monday. So it's a perfect opportunity to give our guys a couple days of, recovery and rest, and get back at it on Sunday before, we go into next week's series of games. So it's a joint effort between our strength conditioning staff, our medical staff, our coaching staff, to kind of evaluate the players and determine what's best as far as recovery as you go through the season.
So we kind of were tipped off by Matt Salmon to ask you what he's making. Make sure you ask Tom this question, because you've been with the team for so long, and he's wanted us to ask you what the most bizarre injury you've ever been been presented with in your 17 years with the Lightning.
Most bizarre injury.
He said something with lobster claws.
Yeah, we've had some bizarre ones off the ice.
Okay.
Not game related, maybe, during warmups, player playing soccer or something around their house. But one strange one I had several years ago, probably 10, 11 years ago now. I got a call probably about 8 o'clock one night from one of our players, and typically they're not calling to see what I'm doing for dinner, so I knew something was wrong. And he says, hey, I'm on my way to the emergency room over at Tampa General.
Oh.
Okay, what happened? What'd you do? He said, well, I was eating dinner at Burns, and I sliced my finger on a crab leg, and I have to go get stitches. I'm like, okay, this might take the cake.
Right.
So sure enough, he went over, he had his finger sutured up, and then went back to Burns and finished dinner.
Well, you can't let those crab legs go to waste.
No, exactly. I guess they kept them warm for him.
So, because you're basically on call for the players and even their families 24 hours a day. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to put it. Basically the players come in and none of them are truly local. They don't have roots here. They don't have families.
Right.
Originate from here. So they're all, transplants coming in, and they come in, some of them just for 8 months of a hockey season. Some of them stay here permanently. But at the end of the day, I'm the first person that they rely on and turn to for any medical advice or direction that they may have, either for themselves or their family. And that's one of the things we try to do is, help them out in any way they can. It's one less thing for them to worry about, and connect them with our physicians or referrals that they may need. Several times you'll have, maybe a player's parent come down and, hey, my dad's had this chronic shoulder problem for 10 years. Guys, take a look. So we'll, help them out in that case, and just to do whatever we can to make the player happy and comfortable and put their mind at ease that between themselves and their family, that they'll be taken care of medically.
So there have been a lot of pucks in the bench this year. And we asked Rob Kennedy about this a couple months ago, and last week with the video of the pucks just flying by an inch in front of Pierre Maguire. How long do you think it's going to be before everybody that's on that bench is going to have to wear a helmet?
I think you're going to have a hard time getting convincing some people to put one on.
Coach Cooper won't put a helmet on? Come on.
Can't mess up the hairdo.
But yeah, no, I mean, you guys are just, it's like a medical ballet of what happens on the bench and how you are able to anticipate the player needs. And just thank you for keeping our guys healthy. We really appreciate it.
Well, it's honestly, it's a pleasure to do it. I'm very fortunate to have the position I have. And, you know, obviously there's some of the days and road trips and hours get long, but I wouldn't trade it. And, you know, we're all just striving for the same thing and trying to work together, all of the different departments to achieve the same goal.
Well, thank you so much for joining us. Tom Mulligan, head athletic trainer of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And we can't wait to see where this season takes us.
Awesome. I appreciate it. Thanks for the time.
That's where we're going to wrap up for this week. Don't forget to follow Game Misconduct on all social media at Game Miz with a Z Conduct. And we will catch you next week.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.